We have been in Galatians 5 for a few weeks, and then we had a break, and now we're going to begin in verse 13. And we're going to look this morning at the freedom which we have in Christ with a purpose. And the reason why the Apostle Paul is laying this all out is Paul is a thinker. He literally analyzes everything. When he writes something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he already knows what kind of answers he's going to get from those who embrace it and what kind of answers he can expect from those who are fighting it. So he works it out, and then he writes the answers, obviously all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes the answers in such a way that they have a balanced Christian walk with Jesus. A lot of Christians believe that, okay, I gave my life to Jesus at a certain point in my life, and from then on, it's license to kill, if you want to call it that way. I have a license to do anything I want. Or in American church goes something like this. Nobody has to tell me how I have to live. Well, that statement would be totally unbiblical. As a matter of fact, we need to know that yes, Christ has set us free, but from what? And for what purpose? And this is what the Apostle Paul is addressing here in the next verses. Begin reading in verse 13 with me, would you? For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You might want to underline that or circle that or exit or whatever you do in your Bible. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine that? Every law God has ever given man is fulfilled by you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is what Paul is very concerned about with the Galatians. Obviously, he heard about their troubles, and he recognized that there all of a sudden are big battles in the church. Some of them went into the legalism aspect, and others just were fighting it, and now they had two camps. And Paul said, you're going to bite and devour one another if you're not going to take care of these problems. Here he tells us how it's going. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's another one you could underline. Walk by the Spirit, and if you do, the outcome is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. How many of you would say that sounds like a war? For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, now he gives us a whole list. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he flips the coin and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. How many would have to say, Paul, these are strong words. These are strong words. He mentions it, I mean very clearly how the action, the outcomes are going to be when you are fulfilling your desires or when the Holy Spirit is working in you. So there are two different things. And as you well know from earlier sermons, the Apostle Paul had three issues which he had to address first before he got to this fourth issue. This was, first he had to defend his apostleship. You remember that? He said, well, he's not an apostle. He cannot possibly be an apostle because the guy is so lenient on grace. Then he defends his gospel, which he said, hey, I didn't get that gospel from the apostles in Jerusalem. I never conferred with anybody until after 3 years, after I was with God in the desert, and he taught me. This is a gospel revealed to me by God himself. It's the gospel of grace. So he defends it. Then he goes after those legalists, the Judaizers, who say that you have to add some things to your salvation. And so he got taken care of all these problems, and now he has a fourth one, which he addresses. And this is the license. If I am a Christian, I have a license to do what I please. I'm free. And Paul said, well, I need to address that too, because that is not according to my gospel. In other words, the grace of God, which brought you to him and keeps you in him, is not a license to do what you want to do. This is a huge problem in the church because we have all kinds of different factions in the church who believe that since I'm a Christian, if I do my own thing and I live my own way, I can always go back and ask him for forgiveness after I was a jerk. It is true that God is a very forgiving God. But if that becomes a lifestyle, Paul said, you got another problem. Your problem, if this is the lifestyle, is that you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now that's an eternal issue. That is now, am I going to be in heaven with God? Am I going to be in the presence of God throughout eternity? Or do I play a game? Remember Jesus said these words. They will be coming to me and said, Lord, Lord, have we not? And then they list a whole list of activities. And his words, the frightening words, are, get away from me. I have never known you. This is not what we want to hear. So, the question obviously is, Paul, what are you addressing? He's addressing two issues. One of them is, understand what Jesus Christ has set you free from. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. And then, what's the purpose that he set you free for? There's a purpose. How many of you know God does do nothing without a purpose? And his purpose is not interested and focused on the little few years which we are living down here on earth. His is always an eternal purpose. We had in our Bible study, it was just mentioned on Thursday, a big discussion. Somebody asked somebody the question, how can the God of the Bible be a loving God when you read in the Old Testament all those killings that went on? And obviously, a 1 hour Bible study will not do it, you know. And it went a little longer. But the answer is a pretty simple one. God will do away with anything that hinders God's love to penetrate people. Or let me say it this way. If you are a mom or a dad, and God has blessed you with children, and so you have children in your home, you have maybe grandchildren, and you love them. You love them dearly. And somebody comes into your life and interrupts that relationship, knowing that they cannot get to you, so they're going to attack your children. How would you react? Oh, that's just too bad. Kill them. Is that what you would do as a parent? Jesus said it this way. Listen, you as earthly fathers, evil in the heart, knowing how to do good, how much more the Heavenly Father? So the Heavenly Father will do anything to not just protect his children, but also to bring those which want to come into his kingdom, to bring him into his kingdom and keep him there. That's love. This is why John 3:16 should never, ever be just on your refrigerator door, but needs to be meditated on it and understood. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Love gives. And he gave the best he had, his son. Think about that. For a purpose, so you and I can go free. Not to be back in slavery again. Not to do what we please. But we have been set free for a purpose. And that purpose needs to be clearly in front of our eyes, constantly operates with that eternal purpose in mind. I can maybe explain it this way. In the world we live in, we have to make a living. And in the business world, everything is goal setting and visions. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That same mindset has penetrated the churches. And it's a killing force because the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it. God's business, God's church, does not operate with goal setting and with visions. It's only working with revelation. God revealing himself to his people. That's why we got this book. I don't care what kind of goals you have, or visions you have, or dreams. My question for you this morning is a simple one. If God decides to reveal himself to you in such a personal way that you know it is God, how many of you would have to say, this is what I need most? This is what I need. I need a revelation from God. And for that, I don't need to set a goal. I need to surrender. It is easy for us as human beings to set goals. It is a battle of life to surrender. But that's where the blessings come. And that's where the freedom can be found. When God reveals to us something, he does it with a purpose. And normally, God's people would say, whatever God reveals, I obey. That's where freedom is found. If we disobey, you can't find freedom. This is one of the reasons why so many Christians in churches, they have been saved by the grace of God, but still do not live in freedom. So I give you three little points this morning, straight out of what Paul is teaching here. What it means to live in that freedom, the purpose of God revealed to you and me. Living in freedom, the first thing we can learn is, means doing away with legalism and license. How many of you remember still when we looked at legalism? It means subjecting yourselves once again to a yoke of slavery out of which God has set you free. But license is something entirely different. License is our all sinful nature being gratified by us. The very thing Paul said in Galatians 2:20 should have been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. When the New Testament translates the word flesh, you know, living in the flesh, that doesn't mean this thing here, you know. It means the old nature. That which is in us before we came to Christ. And the old us was always influenced and sometimes empowered by the evil one, the ruler of this age. But when Christ came, rulership changed. And now the Holy Spirit should be in charge. So we have to do away with the legalism. Normally we don't have much problems with that. But the license, that's a problem. What do you think? That's just a challenging thought. What would you think would the church would look like if everybody only does what the Holy Spirit tells them to do? How would it look like? Heaven on earth. That's how it would look like. I know that's a pipe dream, because our old nature loves to be in control. So when Jesus came, he said, okay, there is now no condemnation, correct? Romans 8. There's now no condemnation. I gave you power. People say when the Holy Spirit came, he gave them power. Dunamis, or dynamite, where the word comes from. Power to be used for what? To blow up people? What is that power supposed to be used for? What does the Bible say? The Bible says power over sin. Where is the problem? Here, in our hearts. We have power over sin. We can never, as Christians, go to God and say, I'm so sorry, I just didn't have enough power to say no. Really? The Holy Spirit living in you and me? That's the same Holy Spirit who created everything. And you say, that's not enough for me. That can only happen if we believe the lie, but for certain temptations or certain sins, the power of God is not sufficient. But that's not the truth. It is sufficient. So he has given us the power so we can master that old colossal monster in us who always wants to be fed and always wants to be right. So you have the power. You can read, I gave you plenty of scripture verses on your outline. I know that power is also good for power over Satan and power over demonic forces. Most churches in America today don't even believe that there's a devil. They don't believe that there are demons. It's also power against that legalistic ideal or the false teaching that we can now do what we please. This is all power God has given us. Wow. Then Jesus set us free for the purpose of righteousness and hope. How many of you have ever days where it kind of seems like hopeless? None of you has that? Yeah. He set us free for that. Let's flip that over to the next one, what he has set us for. Here, hope. Generosity and concern for others, or what Paul said, the law is being fulfilled by loving our neighbors. Okay? Then following God's will. He set us free so we can actually follow God's will. Let me quickly insert a truth there, and that is, before you are a born-again believer, no matter how hard you try, you cannot fulfill God's will. You don't have the power in you. You can become a religious person, but you cannot do God's will. God's will is simple, so that everybody comes to the knowledge of God, and none should perish. That's God's will. You can't do that in your own power. It takes the Holy Spirit. And then for reconciliation with God, that's the first thing. That's a bookkeeping term, reconciling. Simply means leveling the book. The balance is zero. And with others, we should never owe anybody anything but to love them. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay. A tough thing to live in a world where that is not being lived at all. But that's what Jesus Christ has set us free from and for, the purpose. Once we do this, that's a lifetime of struggle. But we would have absolute freedom. Living in freedom means controlled by the Holy Spirit. If we go back to the Bible quickly and we look at verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see that? James, we studied earlier of the year, the book of James. James calls it the royal law, the overarching law that pretty much glues everything else together. Why? Why is that so important? Selfish people don't like their neighbors. Surely don't love them. It's me first. Go once and live in cities. Hopefully you don't go, but if you go and visit somebody, 6-foot fences, correct? Everywhere. Why? Why do you have 6-foot fences? around your property. You invite your neighbor, don't you? No, you don't want anybody to step on your property. Period. It's your property. I got everyday trespassers on my property. I got coons, I got skunks, I got rabbits. They don't care. They're just coming. They're not belonging to my neighbors, so they're just coming. But if you really look at the way we live, we have to be honest with ourselves. We're pretty selfish. We're pretty selfish. And the more we want to protect ourselves from our neighbors, the less freedom we have. You should think about that. Do you really want the freedom? Do you really want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Paul says it in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We all know the battle that's raging in us, the flesh against the Spirit, as Paul describes. I don't have to give you examples, for sure. You know the battle is raging. Habitual living a certain way. As a matter of fact, we have come to believe that a certain way of living is the only way you want to live, because it's the only way you feel comfortable. There are tons of people, even sitting here. You're not free. You're a slave of something or someone. You would never break free, even if it's offered to you, because you're scared to death outside of that which you know. You wouldn't break free. But I have to tell you, you will never experience God's freedom unless you are willing to break free. Your trust is not in your employer. Hear me, your trust is not in your employer. The one who provides is God Almighty. Amen. Never ever be bondage to these things. What you've been given by the world today can be gone tomorrow. But what God gives you is eternal freedom. It will free you from a lot of bondage if you recognize that. I would never be able to preach to you the way I do if I would always in my back mind have the thought, well, I don't want to offend anybody because they give money to the church. If I offend them, they will not give anymore. And then how in the world do they want to pay me? And if I don't get paid, then I can pay the... And you know, it goes on and on. How many of you have to say, that's not freedom? That's bondage. So I had to learn that the hard way. Because when you come from a world where everything is turning around, control, 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 you don't want to give up. But the more I want to control, the less freedom I have. You say, well, you know, somebody told me yesterday the lottery is $500 million or whatever. If you really want to get in bondage, I will do it to you. There is no freedom in those things. You say, well, just try me. I don't have the power to give you that kind of thing. I don't have it. But I can tell you something. I've read plenty of stories from people who have it and are very unhappy and not free. That I know. You can be free on having things, but if things haven't you, you're not free. This is why Paul is giving us a whole list of things that will always put us back into bondage. He says, I want you to know what the desires of your old nature will do to you. Here it is. In other words, he makes a list. Now, I want you to understand one thing when Paul makes that list. First of all, the list is not complete. And secondly, this is not that you are that person. But he says, these are the things you're going to see in your life manifesting themselves if you let your flesh take control of your life. And instead of having the freedom which Christ sets you free for, you are not going to experiencing it. And he makes a whole list. We're not even going into the details of it. Sexual immorality. Listen, it's a huge problem in the churches. I come to believe that I cannot believe statistics, because if the statistics are even half true, I am shocked what's going on in the churches, including leadership, when it comes to sexual immorality. There is no, absolutely no reason for us to dabble in that kind of stuff, because the power of the Holy Spirit is strong enough to shield us and to help us through all these things. Impurity, that means inner mind. Sensuality, idolatry. Anything that is above God in our life is idolatry. Do you know that? Anything. Sorcery, big in the American churches today. You say, well, we don't have the witches floating around. That's not what that means. Sorcery, the word is pharmakia. That's a Greek word. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, hot temper, you know. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So if they show themselves, you can see, if you really want to analyze these things, you can see that there are actually four categories in that list. Sexual sin, religious sin, social sin, and then personal sins. And Paul said that those believers who are entrapped in some of these things need to be so careful, because it will suck the daylight out of you. Inheritance simply means God has promised you something, and you can't experience it. You can't get it because you're not in freedom if you are indulging in those kind of behaviors. Jesus gave us a simple answer. He's looking at the religious leaders one day. You can find it in John chapter 8, verse 31. He speaks to the Jews who believe in him. They followed him. Not those who don't believe, those who believe in him. And he says, if you abide in my word, how many would have to say that's a precondition? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and what does it do to you? Bingo. It sets you free. So when the Bible says, don't do this or don't do that, I don't feel like it today. And you know, this old bearded God just doesn't understand how the 21st century works. So I'm not going to take him at his word. How many of you know that word is as good today as it was 5,000 years ago? And it still works the same way. If we embrace it and apply it, watch how it works. And it will set you free from a ton of lies. And freedom can be experienced once again. There is no sin in this world. And hear me out. There's not a single sin in this world that cannot be withstood when you apply the truth, God's word. Not a single sin. It's the remedy. There's no greater power than God in the entire universe. We're teaching our children in Sunday school how God created everything by speaking his word. And then we go into the sanctuary and God speaks his word to us. And we don't apply a single thing. What do the kids think? My parents either are lunatics or they don't believe a single thing that's being said. We cannot teach that God is all powerful and then we tell our kids, but God cannot take care of our problems. God can take care of every problem. He wants his children to come to him and ask him for it. Every addiction you and I have, God can take care of it. Sometimes he uses your spouse to help you a little bit, you know. But in general, yeah. How many of you would love to be free from all that bondage the world puts upon you? Yeah. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven. Honestly. You can tackle one issue at a time. Use the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. I cannot say it more clearly than this. Paul is so concerned about these Galatians having fallen into the trap of legalism and then of license. And he said, I want to say it to you in the most strongest possible words to stay out of that stuff. I'll never assume, my friend, never assume just because somebody's sitting next to you in church that they got it all together. The problems in the church is as big as the problems in the world. But we have access to a power the world does not have access to. So say goodbye to these things that hinder you to live in the freedom. You say, well, I said many times, no. How many of you have raised kids? A kid comes to you and said, I want this. Shut up, be quiet. No! I want it. No! How many times do I have to tell you no? After about the 13th time, what do you want? Okay. That's what we do with our fleshly desires. How many of you know that flesh will always ask? It will always ask. And we say 5 times, no. Flesh comes back. Yeah, but I need it. You're right. How much do you need? And we give it. We give in to the flesh. It's a battle. It's a constant struggle. Once we give in, boom, we lost the freedom. Listen, all of you know what I'm going to tell you now because you experienced it. We all did. The minute we give in, condemnation hits. Have you experienced that? The minute we give in, condemnation. Who do you think where condemnation comes from when the Bible says, now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? The very one who tempted us, now we fell, condemnation. Condemnation and freedom do not go together. Now we're walking around like whipped dogs because we know what we did not please God. We know it. And before, if we are not careful, it becomes a lifestyle. And when it becomes a lifestyle, it's very, very difficult to get rid of. But I have seen over the years, and that's my personal experience, I think the Word of God backs it up. We can go to as many counseling sessions as we want, and boy, counseling business is a multi-billion-dollar business. And I found the best counselor, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't charge a dime. I like his fees. And I like the way he does it. He goes right to the source of the problem, and if we surrender, it's a battle. So I highly recommend to you to try him out. He never misses. He never misses. Remember, there's no sin in this world, and in you, by the way, for which God has not the power to overcome. He set us free for that purpose. And the third thing we can learn is living in freedom means displaying, and the emphasis is on displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Some people in here, I meet you, be it on a Sunday or during the week, you ate a fruit, but it's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a sour one. I can tell the way you look at it, the way you act. Have you ever noticed that when the Bible says it is the fruit of the Spirit, and I know I normally focus on singularity, but have you ever noticed it never says in the Bible the deeds of the Holy Spirit? I looked it up. It hit me when I studied. It never says the deeds of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit. It's within its nature. The things which are going to come in our life and displaying themselves in our walk down here on earth is giving away which nature is in charge at that moment. The old or the new? Does the Holy Spirit work in that situation, or does I work in that situation? And these two are obviously opposing one another. We already know that because we read it. The fruit of the Spirit are actually less numerically than the deeds of the flesh. Paul listens 15 fleshly things and only 9 fruit or manifestations of the fruit. There's one major question I want to ask you this morning, and that is, okay, Pastor, you told us, okay, we're going to walk in the Spirit. Well, Paul said it. We're going to do the Holy Spirit's work, so we let him do, and then the fruit automatically manifests itself. Tell me, how are you going to do it? How do we do it? I have a few suggestions, and they work for me. They may not work for everybody, but I think the general. One of the things is consistently, not just today, consistently and courageously learn to say no to that which you know is against God, which is called sin in the Bible. You can say once or twice no, but I'm saying consistently and courageously. It takes courage. It does take courage. Another thing you can do is constantly reminding yourselves what your identity is. To whom do you belong? Who am I in Christ? A child of God. Constantly. I don't know if you grew up with a dad who constantly reminded you, hey, we don't do these things because you represent our family name. My dad was huge on that. My wife once challenged me once we got to know one another and we kind of talked about getting married. And she said, your dad thinks you guys have royal blood. You know, remember that discussion? And I said, he's right. I did not know. But the way my dad talked, it's like, I mean, the standard he wanted to set is like the king's son. You know, you don't do these kind of things. In our home, we don't do these kind of things. Along and behold, I took that attitude with me. Here I got a son. He wants to do certain things. He's blah, blah, blah. I said, not in our home. We don't do these kind of things. But it's not a bad idea. It's not a legalistic idea. It is simply reminding yourselves who you are in Christ Jesus. We don't do certain things because how many of you know? Knowing or not knowing, we represent the Lord one way or the other. In everything we say, in everything we do, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people will never know Jesus Christ except the way you presented him. That's a big responsibility. I have to be careful as a pastor. You know, you never know. How often have I met people during the week and listen, I know you. I said, I don't know you. No, I mean, I'm listening to you on Sunday morning on the radio. Ah, oh, praise God, I behaved. You know, you never know. You really never know. So how can we walk in the Spirit? Remind yourselves who you are. You are a child of the living God. And there's another point, which you have to make a decision. This is not naturally coming to you. But do you want to pursue his will, his desires, his calling, even if it is costly? It will cost you something. That's a decision. One of the most powerful tools available to you is this. When you open it up and read it. Constantly, because you see his will, you see his desires, you see his calling. And I'm not talking about the calling, the special calling if you're a pastor or whatever. I'm talking about the calling as a child of God. How many of you know you all have a calling as a child of God? You have a calling and living up to that. And in the process, you're going to have to make a few decisions. Are you willing to forsake these things which manifest themselves because of our fleshly weakness, and then rely on his strength, his power, to help us to stay there? How many of you know the things we've always done, they're not good, but we've always done it, are not that easy to crack. They're not that easy to crack. But with God, it's possible. With God, it's possible. You can ask yourself some very personal questions. Because like one of the famous words right now in the Christian community is hoarding or prepping or whatever. And I would say we all are hoarders. We're hoarding all kinds of bad habits and we store them away. And when the proper opportunity comes, we take them out and do the stupid things again. We have different rooms in our life where we store that stuff. So my question to you is, in what rooms of your life have you hoarded and locked away self-destructive patterns? Are you willing to unlock the door of your heart or give it to the Lord? You have to be very precise. You have to be honest with yourself. The Holy Spirit does not work in an environment of dishonesty. You have to be honest. In my house, we say normally, we never want to pretend. What do I normally say, Peter? Pretension is expensive, isn't it? It costs you a lot. We want to live a certain way, pretending that we live a certain way is extremely costly. When you want to start to dismantle those bad habits, you take a piece of paper, and that's just a suggestion, and you say, I'm struggling with, fill in the blank, whatever it is, and look at it, and then you say, I'm willing to let go. You say, well, I always want to let go of sin. No, it's not true. The drug addict says, I hate the after effects, but I sure love the first effect. They don't want to let go. The white-knuckled grip on that stuff, you don't want to let go. The alcoholic has the same thing. The one who rules the house with hot temper, he doesn't want to let go because he likes it. The old nature likes it. So when I say, write it on a piece of paper, I struggle with, and then name it what you struggle with, and then make a very deliberate decision that you are willing to let go. God will not take it from you. He will say, give it to me. Let go. Let go. It is then when your willingness is being explained to God that you resolve once and for all that you want to live free. And it's going to be your personal decision. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any struggles. I don't have any problems. So you must be an alien. As a normal human being in flesh and blood living down here on earth, we have struggles. And that's an honest, biblical answer. Look what Paul says. He said, you can make a decision. But eventually when the fruit of the Spirit, when you live by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see these things coming to the surface, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says, against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. They said, okay, I've given up. It's over. And its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That means if we live by the Spirit, go where the Holy Spirit leads. Don't fight him. Go where he leads. And it is then when you and I experience a freedom, the very purpose why Christ has come to set us free. Not license, but freedom. Genuine, honest, joyful freedom that will make our life transparent to a world who does not believe that God's power is at work. But because they see it in you and me, they go, wow, how is that possible? The answer is, it's not me. It's God doing it in and through me. And that's what we want to focus on. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. You are so good to us. You've came to this world through your Son to set us free. And you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can't see it all the time in our life, Lord. And we know it's not because your word is not true. It's because we are holding on to things which you have told us to let go of. We are letting things come into our life which you said we should guard against. We make decisions every day which you said we should not make. We're getting weak. Our fleshly desires are ruling, and freedom cannot be experienced. But this morning we ask you, Lord, as you speak to our hearts, let your amazing grace, your power, become evident in all of us. There's not a single problem this world can throw at us that's too difficult for you to solve. There is not any besetting and deep habitual sin which you cannot unshackle today. Lord, there's not another day that needs to be where we give in to such things. But may you open our eyes to the reality of how much you want us to be free, and free indeed. Bondage gone. Deliverance accepted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your incredible gift. Thank you for giving us that freedom and reminding us constantly that it is ours to live in that freedom every day. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, Amen.